Welcome to the Lioness Queen podcast, where our motto is all about living residue-free, not allowing the residue from a negative event in your life hinder you from moving forward where God is leading and directing you. Your host, Reverend Dr. Marisha, founder, speaker, author, divorce coach, and licensed minister, provides motivating messages that will help encourage and empower women to live their best life beyond their past and recognize the worth of their crown. Now let's jump into your weekly dose of letting go of the past and living totally residue-free. Here's your host, Reverend Dr. Marisha.
Welcome back. Welcome back, my Lioness Queens. Today is June 15th, the third Thursday in the month of June. Happy June. Happy Thursday. Happy summer. Happy New Year 2023. I can't believe it. We are almost halfway through the month of June. How did that happen? And in a few days, we will be celebrating Father's Day. And so I want to wish a happy Father's Day to all my fathers out there in the world. You know, I know this is, you know, if you think about it, it's not always a happy time for everyone, especially people who lost their fathers. But even in the midst of, you know, losing our parents, the word says, you know, God will be a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. And I know there are even people, you know, in out in the world who did not know their father, you know, or their father abandoned them, their father wasn't in their life, you know, but nevertheless, happy Father's Day to our Heavenly Father. Amen. To our Heavenly Father, who, when our natural father doesn't rise up, step up and stand up, our Heavenly Father will show up. Amen. That blessed me right there. Ooh, I don't know if that blessed you. Let me say this again. I got to say this again. I want you to get this down in your spirit if this is for you. When your natural father does not rise up, step up, or stand up, your Heavenly Father will show up. Amen. So be encouraged today if, you know, you had a good father or you did not, because God, your Heavenly Father, has always been there for you, whether you knew it or not. He is a good, good father, and that is who he is. Amen. Amen. Again, thank you so much for all of the support of the Lioness Queen podcast. I cannot thank you enough. Please subscribe to this podcast and our YouTube channel. If you want to hear more about what's happening new with the ministry, you can visit us at www.iamthelionessqueen.com. All right, so you know, we're still in this month of June, and this has been, I'm telling you, these been some good nuggets this month. What street are you stuck on? So last week, we talked about the worry street. This week, we're talking about get off of bitterness street. That's right, get off of bitterness street. Well, before we get started, you know how we love doing it on this podcast. We love starting out with a quote or a poem to get our episodes started. We love supporting poets' creativity, and we are so honored to do so. So today I found a poem by Ken Ben Knight. And so the title of the poem is called Bitter Man. So the poem reads, "Understand this, bitter man. You bring this on yourself. Setting expectations high, so disappointments felt. You think the world has let you down like everybody else. So everyone most feels the pain inside that you have felt. Lonely because you have no friends, no happy face to call. But you, with all your bitterness, it seems, have run them all off. All alone." Okay, let me do this one again. Well, before we get started, you know how we love doing it on this podcast. We love starting out with a quote or a poem to get our episode started. We love supporting poets' creativity, and we are so honored to do so. So today, I'm going to read a short poem by Ken Benknight. And the title is called Bitter Man. So the poem reads, "Understand this, bitter man, you bring this on yourself. Setting expectations high, so disappointments felt. You think the world has let you down like everybody else. So everyone most feels the pain inside that you have felt. Lonely because you have no friends, no happy face to call. But you, with all your bitterness, it seems you've run them all off. All alone and scared inside, but dare you let anyone know? So every day and every night, your bitterness and you alone." Ooh, that's a powerful poem. That's a powerful poem. I'm telling you, I was getting a little tongue twisted just reading it, because this is a very, very dangerous street to live on. But the first two lines just got me right in the stanza. The first two lines, and it says, "Understand this, bitter man, you bring this on yourself." And this is, I'm telling you, this is a dangerous street to live on. And unfortunately, a lot of people live on this street. This street will get you stuck in a way that it can strongly influence you and strongly influence people around you. And it's like an infection. And when it's not dealt with, you know how if you get an infection and it's not dealt with, there's no medication, you haven't been to the doctor, it hasn't been cleaned, what happens? It gets worse. It can start to smell. It can start oozing things out that are different colors, right? And so forth. And, you know, none of us are immune from this bitterness raising up in us. But there are, you know, some people who actually live on this street, and you know who they are, right? Because they're still there stuck because of something imposed on them, and the severity of the incident, it sprouts out like an infection or a root, right? That grows like this weed when not dealt with. And it can grow into anger, which gives it more power, more ammunition, because of that emotional connection that it's drawing from. And that emotional anger changes the dynamic of what happened and how you perceive what happened. And then more weeds, multiple weeds sprout out from your anger, right? Into your heart. And then it grows and grows. And that anger transforms into unforgiveness, which makes the weeds even grow stronger, faster, deeper, right? And it's hard to control. And so here are a few questions I want to pose to you to see if you have bitterness in your heart. So do you still want to be vindicated for what was done to you? Does your stomach tighten up every time the person is around you? When you recall what the person did to you, does your joy diminish and you feel, you know, a strong desire that you want to get them back for what they did to you? Well, if you can relate to any of these questions, then you may have bitterness in your heart. And so when a person is bitter, you know, they focus on the wrongs of others while oblivious to, you know, their own sin of holding on to that thing. And those who are bitter can, I mean, easily recall the conversations, the words, the time frame of when it happened. Maybe even it heightens your senses. So even the smell that was in the room, the smell on the person, the details about the people or events that hurt them is impeccable, right? That recall is impeccable. But bitterness remembers the details. Woo! Let me say that again. Bitterness remembers the details. Like I say, your senses, almost like spidey senses, right? They are heightened when it comes to what someone did to you. And so a bitter person will rationalize, right, their own innocence while condemning the ones who hurt them. And a bitter person may, you know, even in fact, be the victim to a horrible injustice, right? Because what we are not doing is giving them a pass. What we are not doing is saying that what they did to us is okay, right? However, allowing the injury of that wrong to remain unhealed, right? For that infection to remain is lethal, right? A bitter person is, you know, can be tormented and abused by their past. But the good news, yes, there is good news that as a follower of Jesus, you don't have to be bitter, right? No matter what happened to you, no matter the offense, no matter the pain, no matter the injustice, right? You can be whole today. And so when you look at Hebrews 12:15, right? When we look at that scripture, it says, make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. This is kind of what it talks about, right? Keep a sharp eye out for the weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. And so that specific verse says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble, and by it defiling many. And so whether you know it or not, whether you believe this or not, bitterness is a sin. It is a sin that too often manifests itself into bitter words, right? The things that we say are like poison, and we can easily curse, right, back at an individual, not necessarily curse words, but speaking negatively over someone else's life. And so we are warned in God's word to get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, slander, along with every form of malice. For when the root of bitterness is allowed to fester and develop, it results in so much trouble. And as the word says, and by it, many are defiled. Amen. And so we're going to have to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. Man, this is getting good. Because we want to get off of this bitterness street, right? This is getting good. So we'll be right back hearing and learning more about how we can get off bitterness street. Amen. Amen.
Do you love music and always wanted to learn how to play an instrument or sing? Check out Waldorf Music Academy, which is Southern Maryland's best music school, teaching students from ages 4 to adult. Whatever instrument you or your child wish to play, odds are they teach it. Piano, electric and acoustic guitar, drums, bass, and voice, and a host of others. For more information, visit www.waldorfmusicacademy.com.
Welcome back. Yes, we had just started talking about bitterness being a sin, right? And God wants us to get off of this street. And so, you know, bitterness is almost, you can think of it as a slow poison as well, that when not checked, it just turns into a monster that cannot be contained. And when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about like a vicious dog, right? Think about a vicious dog, untrained, untamed, that has lived in the wild, that has lived out in the wilderness, let me say, right? And they've had to live off of the land. They have had to fight other animals and live on their own with no home training, right? Typically, dogs are in a home with home training. And once a dog has lived untamed, how does it conform? How does it get tamed? How does it learn how to listen and obey? Well, in the same regard, when we allow our bitterness to take root in our lives, then it is challenging to train. It is challenging to tame. And it's challenging to help it to conform into the image of God. And so there are various instances in the Bible, if you really think about this, various instances in the Bible where individuals had to combat their own bitterness, right? So think about Job's wife when she told Job, curse God and die. All of my children are dead. You talking this stuff, but my children, there was some bitterness in Job's wife's heart. Think about Naomi when her husband and her sons died, the things that she had to say to her daughter-in-laws, right? Sarah, when Hagar got pregnant, Leah and Rachel with their fertility issues, Saul against David because of how many people loved David and he didn't think people loved him. I'm telling you, there were a lot of instances and examples that we can learn from, right? And those people felt bitter against someone else due to something that was done to them. But although things happen to us, which we cannot stop, God will lift up a standard to protect us, to bless us, and to keep us. Amen. I got to say that again. God will lift up a standard to protect you, to bless you, and to keep you. And so God will fight your battles. And there is nothing new under the sun that God will not do for you. Amen. So here are four things that you can do to uproot bitterness in your heart. Number one, it all starts out with Thanksgiving. We talked about this before last week. You know, I know it may seem like a cliche. It may seem simple. It may seem as if something, I've tried that before. But when you start thinking about the goodness of God and all that he has done for you in spite of what others did, then you will have a heart of thanksgiving. That what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it around for your good. And there will be people in our lives that will do things that may try to harm us, hurt us, belittle us, demean us. And that doesn't mean the attack won't form, right? But there should be comfort in knowing that although the attack may form, right? It cannot do you any harm because God is with you. Amen. And so you may have heard me say this before, but although the attack, the plan, it may have power, but God did not give it permission to take you out. And so God wants you to think more and focus more on his goodness than what others have tried to do to you, because guess what? You're still here and you're still standing. Number two, we have to learn how to be better and not bitter. I've talked about this before, being better and not bitter. Again, this is not cliche, y'all. This is real. I'm sure you've heard this before, but being better is not stooping to the level of the other individual. You know, both of us can't act like children, right? You can't lower your expectations. You can't lower your standard and stoop to the level of what somebody else did to you. Amen. And so being better is learning how to respond and not react. Being better is understanding that although the enemy made a try to come up in like a flood, but the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Being better is realizing your assurance is better than any Geico insurance, any Allstate insurance, and that God has you covered at 100%. Number three, you got to uproot bitterness. You got to be vigilant. Right? You got to take it. The violence, take it by force. You got to take that thing back by force. And how do you do that? With truth. And what is truth? Truth is the word of God. And like the poem said from the beginning, it is up to you if you want bitterness to grow or not and take root in your life. If you fight those negative thoughts with God's word, then the weeds cannot evolve. They can't multiply. They can't grow into anger, can't grow into unforgiveness, grow into hopelessness, grow into gossip, because now you are slandering the person who hurt you, right? And what and people did to you and so forth. And so no, you have to bring every negative thought that raises and rises up against the knowledge of God and take those negative thoughts captive and make them obey to the truth in God's word. It is what you do with God's word that makes the difference. It's what you do with it, right? The Logos word is not enough. The words in the Bible, those words on the paper is not enough. It is God's Rhema word that you have to apply in situations when you don't feel equipped, when you feel things are not fair. When you feel people have tried to have taken you for granted, when you feel someone has stabbed you in the back. It's so crazy. I dealt with this, I would say this past month, somebody stabbed me at the back at work. And it was so subtle. It wasn't blatant, right? It was just behind the back type of stuff, like a snake who would come up from behind, right? And I had to allow the word of God to do the work in my life. And the craziest piece is my pastor didn't even know what I was going through. And last week, I really felt the weight of that thing of being backstabbed. And we're not close, me and this coworker, we're not close or anything, but I just felt the weight. And my pastor said, you have to stop focusing on you. You got to stop focusing on the situation. And you got to stop focusing on evil people. Amen. And so I had to fight those thoughts with the word of God, because the word still works. Amen. And even Jesus could not even allow bitterness to take root in his life. I mean, there were so many people. I mean, so many people who were against him, who wanted him to die. And so what did Jesus had to do? He had to do this last step. What is the last step? Prayer. Again, like sometimes we think things are so simple, and they really are. Because guess what? God has equipped you. There's nothing under the sun that you will ever go through that God has not equipped you for. And so Jesus went to pray, right? When he felt his human flesh needed to be refueled, it needed to be rebuilt up, it needed to be reset, it needed restructuring in a way of his thinking. You know, yes, our natural man cannot manage the thoughts, cannot manage all of our thoughts, all of our emotions and behaviors. You know, when we are not seeking God with all our heart, we are a mess. And we need prayer in our lives. When we are not in his presence, soaking up his love for us, which injects us with life, new life, we are a mess. We are distraught. We are all over the place. We are carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders. This is why prayer is needed. And it is in those quiet times with the Lord when he will reveal who he is to us. And that's all we need. Sometimes we think we need the answers and all we need is him. When he, in those times of prayer, that communion, he will reveal, he will reveal what happened to us was really for us. And it was for us to fulfill the purpose and why we are alive, why we were born, why we were brought to the kingdom at such a time as this. As the word says, many are called, but few are chosen. And God has chosen things in your life to happen for a reason. Even the things that he did not shield you from, It was all for a reason, to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. But it is through this exchange, it is through this dialogue, it is through this communion, right, that our Heavenly Father loves you. And that's what He does. He loves you. He loves on you. He listens to you, right? And there is no one in this world who can do something to you that God can stop. He can stop it all. He can stop it in the midst, right? And you know, people think they can do things to you, but they cannot do more than what God will allow. Amen. And God has some things for you. So my question for you today is, are you living on bitterness street? Because God wants you to get off. He wants you to get off of living on bitterness street. Do you have something going on in your life that you're still holding on to? That gives your stomach aches every time that person is around you? Or do you want vindication? You want retribution? You want what was done to you done to them? But God wants you to realize you don't have to live on that street any longer. If you don't want to, again, it's a choice. Healing is a choice, also a process. God, the provision has already been made for you. All you have to do is reflect on God's goodness with thanksgiving. Be better and not bitter. Uproot the weeds with God's truth. And pray and ask God for guidance, for peace that passes all understanding when people are trying to hurt you. Remember, no one can stop your blessings. I'm going to say that again. No one can stop your blessings. No one can rob you from what God has destined for your life. Amen. Amen. Where did the time go? Where did the time go? This was a great nugget. This was a great nugget, y'all. I'm telling you, this really blessed me. And I have to say, I wasn't living on the street, but I was on the street. And God was like, it's enough is enough. Enough is enough. And God wants you to get off a bitterness street. It's time. You know, He cannot shift you to your destiny until you put that turn signal on. You get in the right lane and make that turn off of that street. Again, it's up to you. It is a choice. No one is forcing you to stay on that street but you. Amen. Amen. I definitely could not have made it this far with all of your support of the Lioness Queen podcast. Remember to subscribe to this podcast and share a review. I would absolutely love to hear from you. Until next time, let's all live residue free in 2023 and walk in everything God has destined for you to be. Amen and amen.